You are listening to the podcast of the Connection Point Church. At Connection Point, we exist to connect all people with the life-giving message of Jesus, that they might become loving, growing, fully devoted followers of Christ. We pray that you would enjoy this message.
The intensity and the authenticity of our praise is not directly related to how much we know about the power and the greatness of God. Let me repeat that, since you're getting settled. The intensity of our praise and the authenticity of our worship is directly related to how convinced we are of the greatness of our God. We can sing words, but it's not until you know that you know that you know without a shadow of a doubt how great and powerful and wonderful this God is that we worship and that we serve. As long as we are iffy about our God, our worship will reflect it. Is there anyone in the house who is absolutely and completely convinced of the power and the greatness of our God? If so, just put your hands together and magnify the Lord. If you're doubtful about whether or not God will answer your prayers, your worship will reflect it. If you're not sure if he hears you, and you're hopeful about God moving on your behalf, your worship and your praise will reflect the lack of assurity and confidence that you have in the only wise and eternal God. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy. We thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us while we were yet sinners. God, we thank you that we have been given the privilege of not only hearing about your name, but we have been given the privilege and the opportunity to be able to use your name in all of his fullness and all of his greatness and all of his power. God, we've come today to not only lift up the name of Jesus, but to sit at his feet, to hear from the living God, because we're convinced that we cannot live by bread alone, but we need every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Father, hear the prayers of our lips as well as the desires of our hearts. Send a word that will destroy yokes of bondage. Send a word that will answer those unanswered questions in our spirit. God, send a word that will heal your people. Send a word that will reveal who you are and bring us closer to you. Open up our blinded eyes. Let us hear the word of the Lord today. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, let it be acceptable in your sight. You're my Lord and my strength and my Redeemer. Cause the enemy to be defeated in this place. In Jesus' name, let the people of God say amen. Just turn to someone and tell them it's good to see you today. Glory to God. Glory to God. I've been somewhat under the weather for a few days. So my voice is not as strong as it could be. Okay. So pray for me. But we know God is powerful and he's able to do what needs to be done. And I hope you've come today to learn something. Amen. We've given you your bulletins, and you will notice that there are sermon notes in there. If you can pull them out just for a moment and take a look at them. There are some blanks that will need to be filled in. So you will need to pay attention and listen carefully. I believe that what God wants to share with us today is paramount. And we can't afford to miss it. We can't afford the enemy to cause us to somehow not receive everything that the Lord has for us today. So I just want you to repeat after me. Say, Lord, let me hear your word. Open my ears that I might hear. Amen. We have been looking at for the last 2 weeks the power-driven life. Our first week, we talked about the fact that the power-driven life is Christ-based. It's a life that is bearing witness that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And last week, we talked about the power-driven life being Bible-based. And that power-driven life is one that's being transformed through daily exposure to God's Word, which of course is found in the Bible. Today we're going to be exploring the power-driven life being name-based. That the power-driven life is name-based. And I believe discovering and experiencing the authority attached to the name of Jesus will revolutionize your faith and give you boldness, confidence, and witness while bringing glory to Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. And so I believe it is critical that we grasp, understanding the importance of exercising the authority in Jesus' name. The radio broadcaster, the late Paul Harvey, some of you might remember him, he told the story of a three-year-old boy at a grocery store with his mother. She had, like many mothers, sternly warned him that when they got to the store, that no chocolate chip cookies could he get. And he was not even to ask for them. And so when she got into the store, she put him in, you know, the little seat in the cart. And she wheeled the cart down the aisle. He was quiet, of course, till he got to the cookie aisle. When he saw those delicious chocolate chip cookies, he stood up in the cart and said, "Mom, can I have the chocolate chip cookies?" And with a voice strongly, she says, "I told you not even to ask." "No." Well, he sits down, and but eventually, as she's going through, she has to go past the cookie aisle again. So the little boy knew, you know, that here's my chance once more. So he says to his mother, you know, "Mom, can I have the chocolate chip cookies?" She says, "Sit down and be quiet. I said no." So finally, arriving at the checkout counter, the little boy knew this was his last chance. And so if he had to do something, he was going to have to do it quickly. So he stood up once again in his seat and he shouted as loud as he could, "In the name of Jesus, may I have some chocolate chip cookies?" Well, Paul Harvey says everyone around the little boy and his mother began to laugh and applaud at the little boy. But that day, all the shoppers got together and they raised enough money for that little boy and his mother to leave the grocery store with 23 boxes of chocolate chip cookies. Anybody like chocolate chip cookies? Now this is sort of a cute story, but let's not really forget the message. And the message is that there is an authority attached to using the name of Jesus. It's in exercising our authority in Jesus' name that I really want to bring to the forefront today. It's been in my spirit for a number of weeks, this notion of the absolute importance of us exercising our authority in his name. Well, the question becomes, what does it mean to have authority in the name of Jesus? If you've been in church for a while, you've probably heard that we sing songs about the name of Jesus. But in the book, The Wonderful Name of Jesus, E.W. Kenyon writes this. He says, "When we are born into the family of God, the right to use the name and the privilege to use it comes with the new birth. All authority vested in that name is given to us to bring glory to the name of the Father." And so the moment we have been born again as new believers, we have been given the privilege to use this authority that comes with the name of Jesus. In the Hebrew tradition, to do a thing in the name of another or to invoke a person's name was to make that person effectively present. So every believer has been given what we will call and can call the power of attorney to represent Jesus. And if you know anything about the power of attorney, if someone gives you power of attorney. You have the authority to act on their behalf. You have the authority to conduct business in their absence. You can write checks out of their checking account. You can make purchases. Lily, when you have power of attorney, you're in a position where you are acting as if you are that person. If you bought a car, a new car, you may have not realized that, or you may have realized that you probably signed a power of attorney that allowed the car dealership to purchase tags in your name. And so it is a common practice of this power of attorney, but every one of us have been given power of attorney to represent Jesus. But there's another thing that I discovered a few years ago, is that the power of attorney becomes invalid upon death. Don't miss this one. You have the power to represent that person as long as that person is alive. No. So the only way that we can have power of attorney for Jesus is that he must be what? Alive. Somebody say he's alive. And so when we use our authority in Jesus' name, we are standing in his place. We're carrying out his will on earth and proclaiming he is alive, seated at the right hand of the Father. This is what Jesus meant when he said in John 14, he says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. Not I'm going to die, but I'm going to be with the Father. And you can ask anything in my name, and I will do it. You can ask anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. And just in case you may have missed it, yes. Now notice he even begins with, I tell you the truth. Meaning this is literal. I'm not being, philosophical. This is no symbolism. I'm telling you the plain truth. So ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. So now, instead of Jesus alone doing ministry on earth, he has millions of believers with the authority and power to do ministry in his name. This is why the church is referred to what? As his body on earth, with the privilege and the authority and the responsibility of representing him and doing his will and ministry on earth. Now the question is, are we doing the work of ministry? And are we exercising the authority and power that has been vested in us. See,
you can't miss this one. This is so important. The power of Jesus' name is in the person whom that name represents.
Let me repeat that, because it may sound simple, but it's critical.
Because when we talk about the power of his name, you got to understand, it's the power in his name is that the power lies in him who the name represents.
I'll let it sit there. Let me kind of help.
The ancient Hebrews at some point adopted a superstitious belief that was held by their Gentile neighbors. And it was the belief that power resides in sacred names themselves. So the pagans around the Hebrews believed that a God's name itself, the name itself, had power. So if you uttered that name, there was power in that name. But I want you to understand, the power in the name is the power of the one who that name represents. Because see, the enemy has a way of deceiving. Yeah. See, he deceived Israel, and they decided that the name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was too sacred to be spoken except by a priest and on special holy days. So to refer to God in everyday talk, another Hebrew word, Adonai, which is translated the Lord, was used. So they got to the point where, oh, the name is so great, and they feared violating the second commandment, thou shalt not use his name in vain, that they stopped using the name. And it was only used by the priest on special occasions. They also decided that their scribes should not write his name and replace it in the scriptures with Adonai, the Lord. Well, see, there's a problem here. And let me explain the problem. The problem is that the name of God that they were no longer writing or speaking is a four-letter word. YHWH. It's called a tetragrammaton. A tetragrammaton. Meaning it's a word with four letters and no vowels. Four consonants and no vowels. So after the temple was destroyed in AD 70, the correct pronunciation of God's name eventually was lost. Because see, how do you pronounce something if you don't know which vowels to use? So no one knew the vows that were originally used because they stopped writing the name. There's no temple, so the priests aren't using the name. So today, there's no certainty to how to pronounce God's name. Okay, you got it. Just follow with me for a little bit. And so you've heard the term Jehovah. Okay, that was an attempt to try to pronounce God's name. And you hear people today say, well, it's Yahweh, which is really simply another attempt. But there are no scholars who know exactly how to pronounce it, because the enemy tricked them into thinking that there was power in the name rather than the God. And why this is critical, because there are Jews today, especially the more Orthodox Hasidic Jews, who still don't use the name of God. But that deception has also crept into the church and Christians. The contemporary arguments that there's power only in the proper pronunciation of God's name, or the original language, because there's those who will tell you, if you don't use Yahshua for Jesus in the original Greek, there's no power in the name. It's called the Yeshua movement. And I remember a number of years ago, the church that my wife got saved in, they changed the name of the church from Jesus Associates to the Yahshua Associates, because the pastor at that time had got convinced that you got to use the original Greek to have any real power. And there are those who will say today that Jesus can't be God because the name Jesus is a common name. I want you to understand that all of that is foolish idolatry. That is a trick of the enemy. There's a reason why God gave Jesus a common name. Was because he was coming to be the savior of his people. So he gave him the basic common name of the people who he was coming to save. And Paul says in Philippians 2 that, you know, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he set all of that aside to come in the flesh of a man. But because he was obedient to the death of the cross, God has exalted his name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every what? Tongue confess that he is Lord. See, once again, the power of any name is in the person behind that name. The person that name represents. I know at least four reigners. And three of them have the exact same name, Rainer Curtis Wharton. But guess what? Every one of us is completely different. So when Hannah accidentally texts me, "Hun," I know she's not talking about me. Because, see, it's not that the essence of who I am is in my name. My name is who represents the essence of who I am. Tell your neighbor, don't miss it. And so Paul writes this in Colossians, and it's so important, even when Paul writes in Philippians, why it's critical that we, that the leaders of the church equip the saints for ministry and building up the body of Christ, and so that we won't become immature like children and tossed about by every new doctrine and teaching. This is what he says in Colossians 2 and 8. He said, "Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority." Let me just kind of add this. Another reason why Jesus had given a common name is that Jesus is both 100% man and 100% God. And so the next point I want, or the question to address is, what does living in the authority of Jesus' name look like? It is this. It is daily living with the knowledge that Jesus has given us the authority to use his power for the benefit of the church. We sang the song about the kingdom. For the sake of the kingdom, he has given us the authority to use his power that is represented by his name. See what Paul writes in Ephesians 1:19. He says, "I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, which fills all things everywhere with himself." So this is why his commandment to the church, as we see what we call the Great Commission in Mark 16 and 17, says this: these, you got it? Mark 16? It was the text. It was the original text. I didn't get a chance to read it. Mark 16, you, many of you might know it by heart, 17, says, "These miraculous signs will follow or accompany those who believe." Didn't say those who have theological training, then the seminary. But these signs will follow or accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. Yeah, it was the original very text at the very beginning. And they will speak in new languages. Somebody say, they will. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink any poison, it won't hurt them. What it's literally saying is, when those who believe are doing the work of the kingdom, there's a protection upon their life. There's no need to fear working for the kingdom. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. Now look at somebody. He's talking about you. And some of you, thinking to yourself, yeah, that's not me. I hear it in the spirit realm. That's pastors and evangelists and elders. And no, he says, accompany those who what? Believe. Look at somebody asking, are you a believer? See, it's living daily with the knowledge that you have the authority to perform both unusual. Remember last week we talked about also usual miracles in the name of Jesus. Every day you need to recognize, know it, that God has given you the authority. You the authority to perform even the miraculous in the name of Jesus. Let's talk a little bit about how this looks. On an ordinary day, one afternoon, John and Peter decided that they were going to go to prayer service. And they're heading to the temple, and as they get to the temple, and some of you have this experience, you come and you stop at the red light, and there's somebody there who might have a disability, and you know they come and they walk past and expecting you to what? Give them something. And if you don't want to give them something, you make sure you don't what? Catch their. So they're there, and there's a lame man who's been lame from birth. And every day people bring him to the temple so he can beg and ask for money for those who are going into the temple. And so when Peter and John actually see the man as a disciple, he asked them for some money. And the scripture says that Peter and John looked him straight in the eye. They didn't avoid him. And they said, you know, money we don't have. Silver and gold, we don't have today. But what we do have, we're going to give it to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk. Now think about this. The guy wasn't even asking to walk. He wasn't sitting out there because he had the faith to be healed. He was out there because he was expecting that folk would give him what? Some money. Now notice, Peter didn't even say, Father, in the name of Jesus, if it be your will, Lord. He ain't even asked. Jesus, may you heal this man. on any average afternoon, 3 o'clock, hey man, let's go on down to church for, you know, for prayer. They run into the guy and they realize this is an opportunity, and they simply use what? His authority. And simply say, get up and walk. And the scripture says that Peter took the lame man by the right hand, helped him up. And as he helps him up, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. Now, this is the same Peter who a little over 50 days prior, when somebody used the name and said, I think he's one of them, he denies he even knows the name of Jesus. And now he is so confident in not only the power of Jesus, but the authority Jesus has given him, that he simply says, brother, I got something greater than what you are even asking for. You want one box of chocolate chip cookies. I got 23 boxes. Just get up and walk. The Bible says he jumps up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then he's walking, he's leaping, he's praising God. And then he now has the opportunity to go into the temple with them. See, before he could only hang outside of the temple because he wasn't even qualified as a lame man to go into the temple. And the Bible says all the people, they now see him walking. And they hear all the praises going on, and they realize that this is the lame beggar who everybody had seen outside of the beautiful gate, and they're all astonished. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. And I want you to understand that this is not a question of ordination or education. This is not a question of theological training, but you believing Jesus has given you the authority to use his power for the glory of God. Just turn to somebody and tell them, he's given you that power and that kind of authority. A number of years ago, my wife and I, we were invited to my department chair's home for a holiday celebration, and we happened to arrive a little later, and we had an opportunity to see the cars that were parked that were going in, and the Lord drew our attention to one of the cars. It was a Volvo, and there was a bumper sticker that had the fish, you know, the fish on the back, but inside of the fish was the word Darwin. And we realized as we got in that it was one of my coworkers. He's an anthropologist. And this was literally saying, you know, for those of you who are Jesus followers, we don't believe in God. We believe in evolution and Darwin. It's a, you know, finger up to Jesus. But, you know, we never stopped being friends. My friendship stayed the same, and, you know, and a few years later, you know, we were at work, and he was talking, and he, you know, he was talking about his church and the messages on Sunday that his preacher, and he began to tell me the story how his mother was at the point of death. Now, let me kind of help you understand a little bit that he, like many, was a part-time faculty member. And meaning not having a full-time job, you have to go to all different colleges to pick up a course here, a course there, and you still don't earn a full-time salary. And so his mother literally was supporting him and his wife. And so the death of his mother was really representing his life and income, survival. His mother, he said, was at the point of death. And he said, the members of the church would come to the house, bring food, and would pray for my mother. And I saw God raise my mother from the point of death. And I want you to understand that God didn't heal his mother for the sake of the mother. Because there's still going to be a day if the Lord doesn't come back before, she's going to die, okay? But God raised his mother from the point of death in order to save her son and daughter-in-law by seeing the power of God being exercised by the authority of those who were the body of Christ. Just imagine had they all kind of written her off and did not operate in the authority that if we pray and use the authority of the power of God, God can use this to bring glory to the name of Jesus. Just doing everyday Christian work in the authority that has been invested in us. Now let me tell you, every day won't require miraculous healings or demons cast it out. Every day won't be a Benny Hinn day. But every day you have the authority to demonstrate evidence of the power of Jesus' name. Tell your neighbor, any day can be a chocolate chip cookie day. Any day can be a chocolate chip miracle day for what? Every believer. See, living in the authority of Jesus' name means every day you have an opportunity to bring glory to his name at work. At the grocery store, you need to realize you're walking in the authority and that at the right moment, when it's needed, you can step in with your power of attorney. This is why Paul writes in Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is why Paul said, we are what? God's ambassador. When we speak, we are literally speaking God talking through us, calling men and women, come back to God. The scripture says Peter saw his opportunity. The man is healed. Everybody now is standing around astonished. He sees the opportunity and now addresses the crowd. And he says, people of Israel, what is so surprising about this? It's just one of those usual miracles. What's so surprising about this? And why stare at us as though we had made this man walk by our own power or godliness? We were using our power of attorney in the name of Jesus to let you know it's not Peter, it's not John. And you got to get this. He says, this is not our power or our godliness. Well, let me say that again. Because see, we're getting convinced that we can't do it because we don't have enough power or enough godliness. But you were given the right and the privilege as a child of God to have the authority and the power of Jesus. Let me tell you something. When you know you have the authority in the name of Jesus, problematic pasts are just opportunities for the name of Jesus to be glorified. Verse 16 says, and through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed, Peter says. He begins to preach to them. And he said, look, it was in the name, through faith in the name of Jesus, that this man was healed. And you know how crippled he was before. So, see, the man's healing wasn't really just for the man to get healed. This was an opportunity for the name of Jesus to be glorified for the work of the kingdom. You saw how messed up he was. All the years he was out here begging for money. But it was faith in Jesus' name that has healed him before your very eyes. You got to know past failures, past sins, past felony convictions and bad credit, no degree, all or no problem when you have the authority that you can exercise in the name of Jesus. And it plays out in very simple ways. There was a gentleman in the church recently, and he had wanted to change jobs, and he wanted to get a job down at the port authorities. And down there, you, in order to get a job, you have to have the WTIC, and so it's a particular card that you have to have if you're going to, to work in the transportation industry, okay, and be an employee there. And he applied for it, but he was denied because he had spent time in jail. Felony conviction. And I said to him, we need to get your past expunged, but don't you ever think that God don't have the power to give you the job with a felony conviction? Yeah, you need to, get your GED, but don't you ever think that God can't give you a job without a high school diploma. And I gave him a testimony about someone else in the church a number of years ago, Brother Warren. He was in the reserves, and this was in the middle of the Gulf War. And the Lord spoke to me in a dream and said, tell him to get out of the service. And, you know, I mentioned to a few of them, and they said, that ain't going to happen. That can't happen in the middle of the war. They won't do it. And I said, you go to your commanding officer and tell your commanding officer that your pastor said you need to be released out of this 3-year contract you had just signed. Not 3 more months left. And the commanding officer said, well, get your pastor to write me a letter. So I wrote him a letter and said he has just gotten married and he needs to stay home with his wife and not be in a situation where he could be deployed overseas. The commanding officer got the letter, took it up to the next level, and guess what? They released him. Now, I want you to know, it wasn't the power of my letter, but it was operating in the authority. And I had bishops tell me that that would never happen. That doesn't happen in the military. No, it happens when you know God has given you the authority. And so I mentioned a story to him. And so one Sunday after church, he came and he said, you know, I was thinking about what you said about that brother in the church. Would you write me a letter? I said, sure. You know, I said, I will write you a letter. You know, for when you kind of, you know, have an opportunity to, you know, try this again. Or, you know, you get a, what is the term? You know, where you, something you've been denied and you come back again. Yeah, you appeal it. I said, you write a letter. I will write a letter, and we'll get your boss to write a letter. And I said, ultimately, what you do, you bring your letter, and we will rewrite your letter for you, and we will actually write the letter for your boss, and he'll simply sign it. So we wrote 3 letters, gave him 3 letters, and we were meeting with him and his fiance, and at the end of it, he said, oh, I got to tell you something. He pulls out his WTIC card. Simply operating in the authority that just because they said no, you don't qualify because you have a criminal background. We walk in the authority of Jesus. See, when you know you walk in the authority of Jesus, that a no is not a no. Because you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. When you know you operate in the authority of Jesus' name, you can really never say, I can't. When you say I can't, you really mean I won't. Because I don't believe in the power of Jesus. And the Bible said, in the midst of all of this, Peter and John were speaking to the people, and the priest confronted him. Why are you doing this in healing? And the leaders, they were disturbed. And believe me, sometimes when you are doing the right thing, you will get opposition. Why are you teaching the people that through Jesus there's the resurrection of the dead? But let me tell you, powerful opposition is only an opportunity for the name of Jesus to be glorified. And the Bible says they throw him, both of them, arrest him, throw him into the prison. But, somebody say, but. As Paul Harvey said, now this is the other part of the story. But many of the people who heard their message, who heard Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, after that day, who heard the message he preached when the opportunity of healing this man, an additional 5,000, or an additional actually 2,000, believed, and the total of the church became 5,000 versus 3,000. Okay, no, you. One man, they used the authority to heal one man. And because he uses the authority, 2,000 people come to Christ into the church, into the kingdom of God. So think about what happens every time the opportunity rises up for us to use our authority. And we draw back, looking at ourselves, seeing the weakness in us, rather than seeing the power of God that has been entrusted in us. Paul said, we're just fragile vessels that the power of God resides in us. So we all know what? It's not us, but the power of God that he's given us the privilege to represent. And what I've come to discover is that God gives us opportunity after opportunity. And those opportunities are designed to help build our faith and confidence in what God can do. A number of years ago, I had gotten turned down for a loan, car loan for a Toyota Camry. Credit union. Credit union give everybody money. Because they're going to take it right out your paycheck. And they said no. But see, when you operate in the authority of God, you know that no doesn't mean no. No human can tell you no. No circumstance can deny you. No demon in hell can deny you. And the Lord said one day, while I was looking at used cars, said, drive around the circle and go to the BMW dealership. And the color and car you like is there. And this is the price you are to pay for the car. The guy walks out and says, you know how they do, they show up and say, you're interested? Yeah, I like it. And, you know, but I will only pay this amount. Well, you see what the sticker is on this. It's a brand new car. Either you give it at that amount or I walk away. That afternoon, I drove away with a 7 Series, top of the line BMW, and I was turned down for a Toyota Camry. I was denied a box of chocolate chip cookies, but I had the authority in Jesus' name to walk away with 23 boxes of chocolate chip cookies. Well, see, I want you to understand, each of those miracles aren't just for that situation. They're for the glory of the kingdom of God. It was building my confidence to the point where I could walk in and have walked into hospital rooms because I've been called by family members to basically give the last rites because this is it. And the Holy Spirit says, tell them in their coma, the death rattles, that you're not to die. But God said you are to live. Leave the hospital room and get a call on the phone that the person has risen up. And see that happen over again. When all the evidence says no, it's useless. But simply every day knowing that this is an opportunity to walk in the authority and to represent Jesus. Because he has given us the power of authority, power of attorney, to use his name. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, first, just forgive us for the self-centeredness of thinking that it was up to us and not up to the power that you have entrusted in us, that we are to live and can live every day driven by the power of God, and that you have entrusted in each of us an authority that we represent you here on earth, and that all the power that you had, you've given to us. We operate in the power and the authority of Jesus' name. Open our eyes. I pray as Paul's, I pray that you will see the glorious power that God has given to every one of us. Not just the preachers and pastors and evangelists and apostles and teachers, but every believer. These signs shall follow those who believe. That I'm there living in you, both to will and to do of my good pleasure. That I'm able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think, according to the power that you're allowing to be working within you as you represent me, my body, here on earth. Father, for those that are here today who have not accepted you as Lord and Savior, for those that have not believed on the name of Jesus, that there's salvation in no other name. There's no one else who has the power to save except Jesus. No one else has the authority to save human lives but Jesus. And so if you've not believed on Jesus as Master and King and Lord of your life, you can do it today. Confess, Jesus, I know you're Lord. I believe that God has raised you from the dead and that you are alive, seated at the right hand of the Father, and that you can come and live in me, and I can be one of your representatives, an ambassador who's been given the power authority to have a power-driven life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen.
We pray that you've been blessed by today's message. We would love to connect with you.
please visit us online at theconnectionpoint.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Look for CXP Church. Have a blessed day.